Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the October 2023 Fall Family Retreat held in Pipestem, West Virginia.
So we were invited to just share a little bit about ourselves, about our families, why we homeschool, and sort of our role in the family as a homeschooling family. So I think this is kind of new for us, and probably new for you. So what I think we're just going to go ahead and introduce ourselves, talk about those topics, and then kind of open it up for you all to ask questions or share things that have gone well, and we'll kind of take it from there if that works for everybody. So my name is Tim Hester. My wife and I have 9 children. We've been homeschooling the whole time, so for about 23 years, I guess. I shouldn't say we. I'm going to be honest. My wife homeschools, and I'm kind of along for the ride. The way we kind of got into homeschooling was I was a student at UNC Chapel Hill, and I was going to finish my degree early, but I ended up having to take another semester for some additional classes. And I decided to take an easy class in the School of Education that everybody talked about. And it was with this really sort of famous professor, and there was like 300 kids in the class, and it was all about education, education in America. It was an overview class. I was not an education major. And this professor talked about all the different types of educating, and he said, I remember very distinctly in one class, he said, but if you want the very best education for your kids, you will homeschool them. And he was a professor in the School of Education. He teaches the teachers. And remember, he said, if you want the best education, you'll homeschool your kids. The rich have been doing it for hundreds of years, is what he said. You know, they teach their kids at home. And that kind of, I was like, well, that's kind of telling if somebody from the School of Education is going to basically disavow teaching and say, yeah, that you should homeschool. So that's kind of how we sort of got it kicked off. In our family, at least. And I went and talked to my wife, and we sort of just started going. There were some great families that we knew, like the Petties, who were super homeschoolers, and they gave us a lot of pointers and tips. And really, my role, I think, and I can talk about this later, I think, is a lot of it's just been kind of helping with the vision, I think planning a lot of activities. In our family, I think I've taken the role of doing a lot of the religious and scripture education. So I do like devotionals during the week. I think I've, at some point after a few years, I realized there's no PE that's set up in homeschool. And so how are the kids going to get some exercise? And so I sort of took the lead on like doing physical fitness. So we would do a devotional, and then we would do different kinds of exercises and get the kids, trying to get them habits of physical fitness. So that's kind of the role. And then I think after another several years, we realized things are pretty chaotic in homeschooling, and we need to get away periodically to figure out what we're going to do with our homeschool, with our family, basically. And so we try to get away for quarterly, my wife and I do quarterly planning trips where we just spend the whole day just planning, thinking about where our family is, and then trying to outline what we're going to do for the next quarter. And so that's, I sort of take the lead in that as well. I have a very busy full-time job that does not allow me to work from home, and so I'm not in the nuts and bolts of the homeschooling itself. So I'm not choosing curriculums, I'm not teaching the classes, or, but I think I'm involved sort of in a different sort of larger, more planning, vision, that kind of level when it comes to the actual homeschool. So that's my situation. Thomas, I think everybody knows Thomas Blackwell from the earlier. Sure. He's glad to join us in the panel as well. I don't know who'd like to go next.
Is there a specific question?
We're just giving an overview of introducing ourselves, how we started homeschooling, and what our role is sort of on the family.
Go down the line.
Which way? I can go. So, Nephi Zufelt, we have 5 kids. We've homeschooled since my oldest was in second grade. We kind of fell into this as a result of just some changes in life. You know, we had some tumultuous times, and well, not tumultuous, I shouldn't say that. We just decided we wanted to do things differently, and changing to homeschool. It's interesting because we started homeschooling, and you know how it just breaks your brain and like makes you think of all new different things, like every system is broken and not worthwhile. I know maybe you guys haven't gone through that, but we definitely looked at it and we're like, well, why are we working the way we're working? Why don't we do some home business? Like, we just kind of changed everything, and a lot of it was as a result of that change of mentality that comes with homeschooling. So that was pretty amazing for us. You know, I think if you look at the data, you know, dads are so critically important in families. Every single metric that you look at, whether it be homelessness or you know, financial success, the number of kids that are in, if you look at how many people are in jail, you know, 80 some odd percent of people that are in the incarcerated come from fatherless homes. And every single metric, whether it be promiscuity, jail time, all of it is so heavily affected by fatherlessness and father in the home. And so I think that our role is so, so critical, even if we're just that supporting role, but being there and doing our thing. Our families very much need a mom and a dad. We're just different. And so the analogy I like to use is, you know, before I got married, but up until I was about 22 years old, I was really, really good at knowing how to load a dishwasher. Like, it was easy. And then I got married and somehow I lost that capability. And no matter how I do it, my wife is like, no, that's wrong. And I don't know what happened. Like, it just changed. But the point of that is, sometimes when we come into homeschooling, there were times early on when I would go in and I'd say, I'll do this. And my wife would be like, no, don't do it that way. That's not how we do it. But the reality is, you guys, is our kids don't need another mom. They need dad to come in and do something different. And I tell my wife all the time, there may be broken bones. There's definitely going to be scratches. There's going to be some stuff that comes along with dad teaching in homeschool. But that's what the kids need. They need a father presence. They need something different. So dads, you know, I think the thing that I have learned is you need to have something you're passionate about that you share with your kids and you teach them often. So whether it's once, I try to every single semester, we do semesters, every semester I try to be teaching one thing and I try to make it something that I'm passionate about. And as my kids, even if they don't care that much about it, like this last year, our project, what I wanted to teach was, we bought a 67 Mustang, which has been my dream for a long time, buying a 67 Mustang, and we're restoring it together. So we've taken the motor apart, we've taken all the rust out. Now the kids are kind of, sometimes they're in it, sometimes they're not, but dad's passionate about it, and they see my passion, and it rubs off, and they have passion about other things. So find something you're passionate about, and I would say do it at least once a semester. You're teaching your kids something. They need that difference. They don't always need mom. Sometimes they specifically need dad.
So Derek Bohan from Roanoke, Virginia. Our journey in homeschooling pretty much started when our oldest son, who's now 24, he was probably 8 or 9, somewhere right around there. He was coming home every day from school just sick to his stomach, going through the SOLs. And that was kind of the first trigger. And then kind of looking at, you know, things that were going on, it's like, you know, what were all those about? And it kind of triggered to us that they're not really learning anything. They're learning a few things and it's just getting pounded into them so they can hurry up and pass that test so the school and the teacher will get their check mark and their gold stars. And then just some other interactions with some of the teachers we had at the school and so forth, and so we decided to pull them out at that time. We have 4 kids. Like I said, our oldest is 24, our youngest is 15. I've got one on the back row right there, so I can't lie about the things how great I am. Thanks. But I agree completely. It's a matter of just being there. And I know probably the first part of when we started homeschooling, I wasn't, because I worked out of town. It was an hour commute, and a lot of times it was coming back home, and it was just, you know, talk to the kids, see how they're doing. I was like, oh, are you kidding me? You know, it's like, after this day, you know. But it's true. It's a matter of being there, trying to be involved with them as much as possible. I love that, you know, saying, you know, find something that you love and share it with them. But the biggest thing is just being there, try to, you know, be that person or another anchor. Like I said, they have mom all day long, and they need to see that you support and that you and your wife are a team. And you're working together for their education, because it is for them, you know. And so, you know, if mom and dad are on 2 different pages, the kids, they see that immediately, and they will run. So, that's kind of ours in a nutshell. Yes, I do what they say and concur completely. So,
you know what? This is cool because I'm Spencer Marsden. I feel like I'm that recent convert. And I've never felt that because I grew up in the church the whole time. And I'll tell you, our story is our kids, we were living in New York City, and our kids were in the public school system, and it sounds like mine went through the public school system the longest. My oldest, who's 20, she went all the way until she finished her fifth grade year. In fact, it was May of her fifth grade year that we went to our first LDSHE conference, because we had pulled out our kindergartner and were really thinking about going full-time homeschooling. And my wife took the leap, and we were a part member family, because I was like, I support you, I love you, hon, if you want to do it, that's great. But I did not have a testimony of homeschooling at all. I didn't. My kids had excelled through public school, and the New York City public school system is crazy. Like, their standardized testing. My daughter had to apply for her middle school, and the acceptance rates were like 10% or less at her middle school, and she got in to a great middle school that we were all excited about. But I was copacetic with my wife doing the homeschool thing, but I didn't have a testimony of homeschooling yet. As we went through that first year, I was a good husband. We have our roles, we stay in our lanes, I provide the money, she spends it. She decides what's best for our kids, and I kind of decide what's best for our family, and we talk about it. When those circles kind of intersect. But then I saw something over that first year. I saw my older two kids, who were great at taking tests and, you know, love to do different things at school, but I saw them start to love to learn again and go really, really deep into subjects that they were passionate about. And then I started to see them change with respect to their own testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that became a big focus of their education. And the fruits of even that first year of homeschool compared to what they were talking about, how they were acting when they would come home from school, what their priorities were, it just totally changed me. And I gained a testimony of homeschooling, that it is the best way to prepare your children to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and contributors to our wonderful community wherever you are, whether it's out west or out east or anywhere or globally. And we've lived overseas as well. And I see my kids being contributors to the community in a way that if they were part of public school, they just wouldn't be. And so I quickly went from being a part member family to getting baptized into homeschooling. And now if my wife says, we're doing this because it's good for the kids in homeschooling, we're doing it. We go to both LDSHE conferences. We're like fanatics. My kids are always like, can we be the YCTs? And I'm like, sure, fine, whatever. And, you know, we've gone to great lengths to just make sure that our kids are doing the experiences they want to do. We've taken on raising farm animals because they got really into farm animals. And I do not like manure at all, but that's fine, like, if they want to do it. And so if I were a dad or if I were a mom that was kind of getting into this homeschooling and thinking about it, I would just say one of the things you need is you need to have that testimony, that conviction that homeschooling is the right thing for your family. Because when both of you and your wife are kind of have that belief, it's amazing what happens to your kids. And then, you know, by the fruits you will know them. You'll see your kids, they'll be happier. I mean, you talked about your son coming home just terrible from school, and like, you just see that change, and then your testimony just builds and builds, and pretty soon you're like, will you do a panel? And I'm like, I guess I'll do a panel. I still feel like I don't do very much, but yeah, you just start doing everything for them, and it's great. All right, that's me.
Awesome. Thanks for coming today. There's so many wonderful things, and what you notice is everybody has a unique story, and that's how it's supposed to be. And I think a big part of that is there's no homeschooling box, right? That what works for you, and what, first off, it takes courage to even do what we're doing, and it also that's not for everybody, right? You have to get your own testimony, obviously. There's no convincing. So when our we have all daughters, and when our oldest, it was time for her to go to public school. It's all that Kimberly and I knew. My mother is a public school educator for several decades, and my mother-in-law, a public school educator. And so we come from that world. We just thought that's, Kimberly was studying to be a public school educator at one point. So that's all we knew. So then the time came for Michaela, our oldest, to get on the bus and go to public school. And the question and the excitement build up. Are you excited to get on the bus? And, you know, it's almost that time. You're almost that age. And then she said, Mom, can't we just do school at home? Never crossed my mind anyway. It may have crossed my wife. She may have had premonitions of that, as she often does. But for us, it was a through the mouth of babes. Saying, hey, can't we just, so then we considered, and Kimberly looked into it, and it's just amazing what's happened. So then we pray about it, which I highly encourage in all aspects, you know, counsel with the Lord in all our doings. And the Lord guided us down there, not knowing how it was going to look, how it was going to act. Did we have friends that did it at that time in Arizona? No. Did we grow up that way? No. Was it popular? No. All these things that you may have faced, and but we listen to the Lord. And I really feel if people would pray about it, just as they're getting a testimony about anything, whether it's the Book of Mormon or whatever, if they really will do that, they'll get an answer that you can provide that. Because as you know, we are built just as much as the children. And for some of us, we feel like we're getting a new education, right? You're learning, you're teaching stuff in your, with your kids that you thought, I didn't even learn this, right? Or a way out of a textbook, and you're deeper. So it's just this magnificent journey that is in store for those that will have the courage to ask, is this my direction? So Kimberly handles all of it. I've given her the free rein to say, buy, do whatever you need to, and I just trust at a high level there, too. And there's things that I've been able to do, too. And, well, before I dive into some semantics of that, I really feel it's important to gain a testimony if you're not 100% on board. If you have a, we homeschool, but if you have a but in there, or however, then it's not, you're not 100% converted, I would say. And I was all in, but there's just little pieces that have been helpful to me. And one, in reading in John chapter 10, the New Testament, was this, where it talks about the hireling and the shepherd. The actual shepherd and then the hireling taking care of the sheep. And essentially, it says, the shepherd and the sheep versus the servant and the sheep. If a wolf comes into your flock and there is a hireling there watching over your flock, the hireling will flee for their life and leave the flock. However, the shepherd who knows all the voices of their sheep will lay down their life for their flock because they know them and they're all in. And God was teaching me there an interesting testimony for me and continuing the confirmation of, if I send my child to a hireling in the public sector, and some, they may know their name, they might be a number, but when a wolf comes, and a wolf can come in many different forms, right? Whether it's bullying or language or this or whatever they're learning. Or if a wolf comes down from the public school system that here's now what we're teaching, which happens, and there's no choice, will the hireling say, no, this is my flock. This will destroy them. No, they will go along with it and they'll get destroyed together. So at home, we get the opportunity to be shepherds. And so that was, the Lord talked to me that way. Kimberly and I do inventory every Sunday, and maybe you do too, meaning she knows my schedule, I know her schedule. We've been in this our whole marriage. Where do you need me? Where do I need you? And we align. And oftentimes in anything, misaligned expectations can hurt a relationship. And it's important to be aligned in those certain things. So at the beginning of the week, I know what's happening and where I need to be and where I'm needed. And likewise, it's just a good check-in also. As a dad, in my particular business, it takes me on the road quite a bit. I'm speaking in a lot of places all over the world sometimes it's multiple, but the consistency of prayer, the consistency of checking in, the consistency of the tradition that I mentioned earlier in my talk is we say what we love about each other. That's a check-in. That's a time. That's a notice of what have you been doing. Tell me what's great about the day. And it's kept those ties even when my vocation takes me in different spots. And then I can look back and say, when are the times that I'll always remember? My daughters may say, always remember with Dad jumping in, is the time when in an evening or I remember at one point said a Tuesday, and I was getting, that was Daddy reading time, right? And it hasn't happened since my girls been on missions and for a bit, but reading those stories together, just Dad and the girls will always happen. Always. I think I'm missing my girls, like the missions, you know. but those sorts of things they can take, and then that relationship. I've spoken in the EFY system for 12 years, and then we were a panel just like this with all the speakers, and we had stake presidents and bishops, and we were speakers and whatever parts of the education system, and we had this panel with 500 kids, and they got to ask questions. And one of the questions came up, you know, what if you've done something wrong and you don't want to tell bishop, parents, or these sorts of things, and maybe you feel like you know, we made a mistake, sin, whatever. And I just recognized the difference. There was a public school answer in a sense that I say it that way, not generalizing. But, your bishop will never tell anybody. You never have to tell your parents. It's safe with them. And he was a bishop. You never have to tell them, everything's cool, you know what I mean? Bishops keep that stuff confidential, and I just had to go, I hope your relationship with your parents is so good that you'll want to tell them first. That is your first line of defense. Not trying to hide or, does that make sense? And I know at homeschool that we have this, there's that connection. We're not sending them out there to go get answers, because that's what it does. It's go out there and be fulfilled. Go out there. No, gather in and be fulfilled. Another thing is we get together as families. Whereas me growing up, it was my friends, my brother's friends, and I wasn't even allowed to hang out with them. It was almost illegal, you know. I wasn't welcome, and I knew it. But here, as homeschooling families, we know the Hesters have been dear friends for years. We'd hang out as a whole family, and we're family friends. And that's just an amazing thing. So everybody's included. And that feeling is priceless. So thanks for letting me share.
Great. You know, I think we want to, at least I personally would like to understand what you all are interested in hearing about. I mean, I think you've heard that we all have different levels of experience and engagement and different things to offer. But I think it might be helpful if we know what you are hoping to get out of this, what you would like to hear from us, what questions are in your mind. We may not be able to answer those, but help us understand what you're interested in.
Yeah, I've got one. So we've been homeschooling for 14 years, and it's awesome. I'm a true believer. But I've come up in that time, I think there was a lot of anxiety from me early on about I'm not engaged enough. I'm not teaching a class, right? I mean, I have multiple degrees, I got a lot of skills, I'm not teaching a class, but I'm doing something. I've found over time, there's certain areas where I definitely contribute. Probably more in supporting my wife than directly educating our kids. But I'd be interested just for each of you to maybe just give quickly, like, in your experience homeschooling, what have been the things where you feel like I contributed and this is where I add value? Just to see what your perspectives are. And it might be good for some of those who are early on and feeling like I'm not really contributing.
Yeah. Anybody want to start? What's good?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'll just mention one. So I think one of the things I've maybe contributed most is I think there's this weird relationship as our kids get older and they move into those teenage years. Their lives are changing very rapidly. They're making decisions. They're improving. They're out there just kind of like fighting the battle. And I think oftentimes, you know, early on when I was younger, they would look at dad and be like, well, dad, you can't understand because your life is the same. You go to work, you do this, you do this. Like, nothing's changing. And there was this point where I was like, man, something's got to shift here. My kids need to see that dad's also struggling. Dad's also improving. Dad's also doing things. And so I made a shift a few years ago where I wanted my kids to know that, yeah, these are the things I'm trying to accomplish, and here's my failures, and here's what it looks like. And so I've done things like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. I've done triathlons. I've written a book, all of these things. And the primary reason, I mean, I wanted to do those things, but the primary reason was I really wanted my kids, especially my teenagers, to see, wow, dad's doing some things too. Maybe like he's doing self-improvement every day. And so I think as far as contributing just that vision that life is about taking on hard things, it's about improvement, it's about doing these things. If they're not seeing us do it, it's not being probably not modeled anywhere else. And we have to, and dads, I would specifically say it's probably more important for you to be doing that because they look at you as like these champions and they need to be seeing you doing hard, crazy things. And it'll inspire them to do other things. So that's.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I think something, you know, we've been homeschooling for so long. I've got children who were born who are now in law school and, you know, the whole spectrum. And, you know, I've had a lot of time to sort of reflect and go, what's gone on and what's worked, what's not worked. And we've had a lot of ups and downs. And I think what I've really seen value in is having a vision. And I think from my standpoint as a father, I feel like it's kind of my job to work with my wife and have a vision of what we're trying to do, you know, like, and I think that's what God did, right? Like, he had a plan for us. And I think that's what we need to sort of to work on together. And I think, for example, one of the things we said a long time ago is that we want all of our children to have basic music skills, right? So we said, everybody's going to do music. Everybody's going to do piano. Everybody hates piano, right? But everybody's going to do piano. And then one other instrument. We just kind of had this vision, right? That's what we're going to do. And so and that's what we did. And now looking back, you know, 20 years later, I remember sitting in the yard, like, typing up this document of the music plan for our family, right? And years later now, I go, holy cow, like, I've got daughters who've been in orchestras. I've got a daughter who's at the School of the Arts in UNC in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, doing harp. And I'm like, wow, that decision, that vision has impacted, like, each of the children. Like, my son does guitar, cello, you know, and you just go, holy cow. And it was never intended for them to be musicians, like, this is going to be your career. But it was, we wanted them to have exposure to that education. And I think that's just an example of, like, having a vision. Where are you going with this? What do you hope is going to happen? And that's not to say that you should make that vision an expectation, because it will be shattered. Like if you haven't been through that yet, if you haven't had that, like, hey, I'm expecting these kids to be this or do that, that will not necessarily always work out. But having a vision of what you think God wants you to do with your family and being on the same page with your wife as you move forward with that vision, I think has been really important. And I think I've seen when we've had that vision, when we've come together, and it's an evolving vision, right? It's something that you might say, for the next 6 months, we want to focus on this, or the next year, we really hope this, or our family needs this. But you have that larger context. So I think vision and developing a vision has been something that I think has been really important.
Just sitting here thinking about like just that support role. You know, like we've discussed, schedules are a lot different for dads. A lot of times we're at work, we come home late, you know, different things like that. So we do feel sometimes like, what am I doing? You know, just, you know, you kind of feel that little bit of that void. But the biggest thing I believe is just, you know, being that support and trying to perfect being support, you know, just kind of looking for whatever it is. You know, like it's been mentioned before, you know, sometimes the wives are just like, you know what? I don't want you to teach a thing. You know, I know you. You know, stay away from them. Get away from our kids. You know, whatever you want to say. But, you know, but you do. When you come home and you recognize those little twitches that are kind of going in your wife's veins and this and that, you know it's time to step in and, you know, maybe push her off to the side and say, okay, go lay down. Go do something, you know, that's not with the kids. It's not teaching. And just kind of step in and be that person to kind of take over, let your wife rest, you know, be a support in that aspect. And, you know, just, you know, like, kind of go over again, you know, do some things with them that it's fun. My wife will be the first one to admit that she goes, no, you're the fun person in this relationship. So, you know, her head is always so swirling. She's trying to find the right curriculum, the right thing, you know, everything. She's very detail-oriented. And so she's like, just go have fun, you know, do something, you know, get them a little bit more upbeat. But yeah, just definitely whatever support role that you can do, figure that out and just perfect it and just step in and be there.
I had similar kind of shortcomings or feelings of inadequacy that you had when you first started, like, hey, I can teach this. Why don't I teach math? Like, I'm in finance, that's what I do. I have a law degree. Why don't I teach the, you know, government and politics and all that stuff? But I found that that wasn't what my wife wanted. She wanted an admin, so she didn't want a professor. And so, you know, I've kind of found my role, instead of taking, like, you know, those teaching a subject or teaching classes, to really be her admin. Like, what do you need? And sometimes that's like running down to Staples and copying out the seminary book for that semester and getting it bound. Like, I do a lot of admin roles. But then I have found that even though I don't have or correcting math, she says you can't teach math, but you can certainly correct it. And then if a kid's having a problem, then you can teach them. So that's kind of my role, is just to be her teacher's admin and do those things on my time. But then I have found that there are moments when you're involved in your kids' life and you're passionate about things, those teaching moments where you can really get into it, they'll come up. I mean, I distinctly remember we took a boys' trip, my boys and I, and this was shortly after Roe v. Wade was overturned. Mm-hmm. And because we have this constant communication about politics, about, you know, government and everything, we're just constantly in communication about that. We spent a 3-hour hike in the Tetons, literally going over Roe versus Wade, going back to the Wheat case and the expansion of the Commerce Clause. Like, we went super deep, and my kids, my boys at least, because the girls weren't on it with us, like, they loved it. They loved going through this, and we literally spent 3.5 hours dissecting Constitution, limited government, and a whole bunch of different things. Because we had that constant dialogue, and then just the right moment came up, and that was 3 hours they'll probably never forget, versus if they were taking AP government, you know, they would have taken the exam and kind of chucked all their knowledge out the window.
Mm-hmm. So. That's great.
Yeah, cans versus can'ts, I would say. You saw the power of that, and focus on what you can do. We can easily get... I know for myself, can easily get think that I'm not doing enough, right? That I'm not doing enough. Well, where that is healed and where that is easily bridged is in Alma 37:37, where it says, counsel with the Lord in all thy doings. Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. And so if you'll take that question to the Lord, Lord, where and what can I do to serve my children? And then another interpretation, this is a Thomas Blackwell translation, counsel with thy wife in all thy doings, and she will direct thee for good. So it should go and ask her, you know, sweetheart, where do you see I can contribute? And constant thing, where can I step in? Where can I help? I'm sure she's thought about it, and by asking that often, they'll come up with something, right? And then oftentimes you may think, well, I don't want to approach them or whatever, but counsel with them. And constantly asking the question, then you can brainstorm. Let's take a brainstorm and let's get some ideas of where I can contribute. Something where I've recently been able to contribute is my wife is an ordinance worker at the Atlanta, Georgia Temple. And on Friday nights, we go as a family. And I'll do ordinances and things like that. And our daughter, Liberty, will come. And she'll do baptisms together. And there's a period of time at the end when we're waiting for mom to finish with her work, right? So we're in the waiting room, and we have at least 45 minutes to an hour, just her and I. And that time has been a precious time. And what I'll do is I'll go get the Spanish Book of Mormon, and we will read Spanish together. I'll have her read, and we'll interpret what it is, make sure pronunciation, because she's learning Spanish as part of her curriculum in homeschooling. But that's our Spanish time at the temple, reading the Libro de Mormon. But that's what I can do. Because next Friday I may not be there. I may be traveling, that sort of thing. And, you know, the Lord will consecrate your performance. So I think just a lot more reliance on the Lord. I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and is trust in the Lord, you know, with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We have all these promises that we just take it to him. It never has to be a guessing game, ever. If I'm not doing enough, no, what can you do? And go ask the Lord, ask your spouse, and then do it. And it's enough. So.
Great. What other thoughts? Questions? What else?
Answers.
Yeah, advice.
Geez, I'll come up with the question. how do you deal with family or friends who have an aversion to homeschooling? I mean, I'm saying like your extended family. Like you talked about, it sounds like a lot of your family are in the public school system, meaning like they teach. That's definitely something in my family as well, and you have siblings who, you know, do things differently than you do. Like, how do you deal with that?
We always toilet paper their house, and write on the toilet paper, we love homeschool. I can answer more seriously, but go ahead.
We have something similar to that, too. It's like our family has kind of like a joke. They always tell them, it's like, we're homeschooled, we speech well. You know, that's all that matters. Yeah. And so we just kind of don't. All right, great, that's your opinion. You know, so.
I think just like a testimony, anything, it's going to be challenged, right? And how solid are you? This just happened yesterday, you know, and I was scheduled to speak in a place in Texas that very Christian, yet they said, no, we just can't align with because you're a Mormon. It has nothing to do with my message for my book, but like we just can't align with you're a Mormon, so we're going to cancel the event. And so, like, if you have weakness in that, like, I guess, oh, yeah, maybe I should stop telling people I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and maybe that, well, no, I stood up and said, hey, that's exactly who I am, right? Love you, there's no animosity. Do what you want to do, but this is, I know I'm in solid space. I know what I'm doing is right, and the same thing as in homeschool. You have to be solid. Like, are you in or are you out? Right? And this is what we do. And I'll say it's not for everybody. But I'm grateful the Lord revealed to me, like, you can't shake me from it now, type thing. So this, if you're wavering, get solid one way or another and believe in it and roll with it. And I think the fruits of the labors, too. Kimberly and I talk about this. You don't always slap it on people. Look at your kids and then look at my kids. You want to say that sometimes?
Absolutely.
You know,
be proud.
You're right. But it's my kids can have a conversation, look you in the eye, have an intelligent conversation. They're not stuck to their phone and that sort of thing. So over time, we've seen the fruits of different labors of the glossing over of youth, I guess, one per se. Because they're disconnected so much, and so it's just amazing that being in that environment and stripping the world from them, and now in their later years they can be present with people. So
yeah, be fine.
You know, this might just be my experience. I honestly think it's become, it's super easy to talk about it now because the school systems have made it so awful. No, I'm being serious. Like, they've been so bad. Everyone's like, it used to be like, why do you homeschool? Now it's like, how can I homeschool?
Yeah.
And most of my conversations are that way because I think they've done the work for us in many ways by being so bad at what they do, from higher education all the way down.
It's such an easy argument, though.
It really is. It used to be harder.
It's like people know I would say most mom parents know that that's what the direction they should go. It's just the commitment to it. You know what I mean?
You know, I think maybe in a related way, I think one of the things that I don't know that I've ever even cared about what people thought when it came to homeschooling, but my kids do sometimes, right? I don't know if you all have had this experience where your children want to go to public school. I mean, so we've had that with multiple of our children where they've been like, because they hear it even at church, even though my kids aren't going to public school, they hear it at church, the other kids are like, you're homeschooled? Well, you wouldn't understand then. You know, and they feel almost like shamed a little bit. And so they'll come and they'll go, hey, how come we can't be public school? How come we can't go to school? Or the best one was my oldest daughter when she was like 9, she goes, I think I want to be in public school. And I said, why is that? She's like, I heard about this thing called recess, and I really want to do recess. And I was like, yeah. All right. But, you know, but I think that's a real thing. In fact, and I'll say, I don't know if anybody cares about this, but I'll say we made the mistake of doing that. Like, we let some of our children go back to public school because they wanted to go. And so we've had probably 3 or 4 who went through, like, did homeschool all their life and then did public school for some period. It was a freaking disaster. I mean, if I could just be honest with you, right? Like, I think it's very unfair. And if I don't know if anybody's even thinking about doing that, but it's unfair, I think, to raise a child in homeschool and then stick them in the public school system. Because we talk about how rough it is, but I think for those of us who've been out of school for a long time, we don't remember how bad it is or don't realize how bad it can be. And those kids aren't ready for that. And Chad.
Did the kids themselves recognize it as a disaster and want to go back?
That's a good question. No, I don't know that they did as much. You know, but you can, you know, as you know, when you look at your child's life, you can see, whoa, they got derailed, you know, and probably I feel like as parents, we probably shouldn't put them in that situation, you know, because they may not recognize till later in life, yeah. But I think that's probably where I've seen it more, not just other families going, oh, you homeschool, but other kids pressuring my children to go to home, to go to public school. And so for whatever that's worth. I know we're getting short on time.
Spencer, can I give an answer to your question real quick? Okay. Not your panel, but...
See, I told you I should be in this side of it.
So, you know, I don't know that I've come across a lot of, like, heavy skepticism, but my mom, interestingly enough, is like a worrier, right? She worries. I love her to death, but she worries about socialization things. So when we told her we were homeschooling, she was all right, but over the years she worried, and it just grated on my wife. Mm-hmm. So for me, the way I address that is I just... basically said, everything has to be filtered through me. I told my mom, if you have any concerns about our kids, they have to come to me and have to be in writing and email. There's none of this like spontaneous, spit it out, especially if my wife can hear, because it will just like blow up, right? And then I'm going to deal with it for the next week, right? And so that was my, basically, and I think she's over all this time, right, as our kids have done well, and they're not, you know, they can't speak to adults, and they, you know, they're... she's fine. She now kind of has backed off. But early, I think it was me being a buffer between the critics and my wife. Because I was believing, but I had to be the one to say, no. It's like, you bring your concerns to me, and we'll, you know, I'll filter what I think if there's any positive feedback.
I want to hear from face.
No, I think, so probably pre-COVID, yeah, everybody can relate to that. We had to justify our existence as homeschoolers. But now I see... my role as encouraging other fathers and mothers, especially in the church, that they can do it. Mm. Like, they've come to us so many times. There's probably been 30 or 40 families in our ward say, how do you guys do it? We want to know. And it's always the father that's a hang-up. It's never the mom. So I've been more of like a cheerleader to these people. Like, you can do it. You know, like, if you can... honestly, let's be honest. If you have a pulse... and you care about your children, you can homeschool, right? Like, it doesn't take any special talent. You just have to love your children, and you can do it. You're always going to you're always going to do better than someone else that's not the parent. Almost, I'll say almost always. They're not always always, but almost always, right? And I always used to use the phrase to people like, if I want my kids screwed up, I'd rather do it than have somebody else do it. So that's what I tell the people. Why do you homeschool?
Well, how do you do it on that?
That one. Why? So I think our goal, or my goal now, is to be a cheerleader to the people that feel that they can't do it. Mm-hmm. And just encourage.
Right.
And then eventually, like, maybe that first kid went through the public school system, but they've got two or three other kids that can also, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot like the church. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of questions and a lot of going to alternative sources for the answers. You know, it's the same thing with homeschooling. They don't fully understand. So, yeah, I mean, that's the greatest thing to be, a cheerleader, come, be a voice.
Yeah, would come follow me. The church set up an example of how to homeschool. Mm. That's the model. So you look at that, and my parents are like, how do you do it? If you're doing come follow me, you just make that another appendage to whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very wonderful. I'll make a comment on that, though, is that thing about screwing up your own kids. I think that there's a lot of people, I too kind of like preach the homeschool message, but I think there's a lot of people who resist. They know somewhere that it would be beneficial, but they don't want the responsibility, the ownership. Mm. Because it's a lot of ownership. When you're saying, I'm going to be responsible for my kids' education, and you have to get them ready to be functioning adults and employable and all those things, like, that's a lot of ownership. And I think I know good people that they we live in New Jersey. We pass laws in New Jersey about LGBT kind of things that are very aggressive. And there's a lot of people going, like, I need to homeschool, but they can't take that responsibility and ownership to do it because it's a lot, right? So how do we help them believe that they can do it and that they can own that responsibility?
Yeah, please.
I'd like to hear a little more about how you're vulnerable with your wife, with your kids. You know, many of you, at least some of you that have spoken, you have your business duties, your job, and then you got the church, and which most of us probably do. It is just slammed. How do we, as fathers, use them more? I mean, and for our own mental health as well as theirs. You know?
Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you're asking?
Well, just how to involve them in the stewardships and share with them. These are the things that I'm responsible for, you know, whether they're in, you know, church is a big deal too, you know, and, you know, and how do we justify time away from whether it's speaking or if it's at a church calling, or, you know, how do we share with them that, yeah, this is important too, but, you know, when, you know, it always goes back to when we are with them, making that time count, but how have each of you been vulnerable with them and been real with them enough to share with them those different passions that we have to go and serve, to go and create wealth, whatever it is?
Yeah. I think for me, like, one thing, I try to involve them in all of those different things as much as you can, right? Like, in the church, we don't share a lot of what that is, but in my business. But really, the second thing I think that has offered vulnerability and has helped is my kids absolutely love, I don't know why, but they absolutely love hearing dad's failures. And I talk about them all the time. So every week we sit down on Sunday evening and we sit and we talk about what happened that week that was good. But the bigger thing we do is we say, this is what I messed up this week. And my kids love, they're like, every week they're like, Dad, what did you mess up this week? And I lay out those failures of things that, man, this didn't go the way I wanted. This didn't happen the way I wanted. I was really trying on this. And when we talk about failures, we clap and we cheer because they understand that failure is a good thing in our family. We want this culture of failing forward. And so we clap and we cheer. And so my kids, and I created a specific kind of story even. I tell stories that are called stories about a boy named Nephi that's totally not me. But the kids know it's me. And so it's about all my stupid things I've done throughout my life. And it just helps them to see that, yeah, Dad's trying to accomplish these things. That's awesome. And I understand why he's doing it. He's also failing, and it's okay to fail. Like, it just opens up that ability to do that. It's been really helpful for us.
Other thoughts?
I
My kids show up to our board meetings. They know exactly how well the business is doing and not at different things. As soon as they're old enough and they can be quiet, I start just totally integrating them.
I think a direct result of homeschooling is kids know how much effort we have to put into life as well, right? And that's a beautiful thing they get to see. You know, I wrote a book on words and changing your language, and Kimberly, my girl's dad, you know, when she said it this way, you're right. You know what I mean? I wrote the book, you know? So it's like, that's great. And then I'll take them to events with me, and they'll help me run the book signing table and all that sort of thing. We've had some wonderful things in those. So take them on those opportunities as well. But being real with them all the time. We've given our, going on a 6-year family adventure, you know, living in 104 places, there's nothing they don't know. They see how we interact in certain situations when things are shut. We give our kids so many opportunities to realize repentance is amazing and saying you're sorry and forgiveness, and that's part of it. You know, so I have a sense that they already see, kids are so wise, whether you have that conversation or not. I think Nephi pulling it back. I do the same thing, by the way. We talk about change the name to some fun stories. But having a talk to say, hey, did you see how we did that and how we felt like we could have done better? And then having that conversation, having a debriefing is so powerful to say, I didn't act up my full potential today, and here's why, and I want to apologize for that. And those connections are amazing.
Yeah. I was going to say that kind of the lesson's not actually sat down and taught. You know, it's like being an example. They pick up on things, like you said. They're not dumb. They see what's going on. They see hardships. They see good times. You know, so they'll pick things up, and you'll see it. But it just, you know, try to continue to do, I guess, be the best person you can be, and just keep plugging along and admit it. I think that's a great thing, is to admit when you screw up and, you know, and apologize to them.
I think we're just at about time now, so we want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for everybody who was on the panel today, and appreciate everything that you brought forth. Thank you.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.